save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good afternoon, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson, and this is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. In case you missed yesterday's podcast, yes, the podcast is going to stick around, even with Joe Rico leaving Sports Ethos. Me and a group of people at Sports Ethos are going to be filling his shoes and keeping the podcast going after over 550 episodes. And I am honored and humbled in order to be the guy or one of the people continue on this fantastic program. Follow me on Twitter at PaulW_34 and Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball at Ethos Fantasy BB, and check out all of our content, daily pickups, weather updates, all kinds of information that you need to win your league. Go follow us there. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, reach out to me at PaulW_34 on Twitter and let me know what you think. So before I begin, let's give a little shout out and some loving to our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from the MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL. Get all your stats, news, scores, all available for your favorite teams for you to follow them. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm going to do a little more cleaner today. I'm going to just go straight pitchers and then hitters. I will include the ads and the drops as I go. Let's start with the pitchers, and we're going to start with the aces. Let's go through them real quick, since not a whole lot has changed on their evaluation for the rest of the season. Cole Reagan, 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a 20% swinging strike rate, 37.9 CSW. The real ERA is 3.38. The xFIP is 3.01. Sierra 3.14. All those things are great. I mean, he actually might get a little bit better with a BABIP of 339. That's due to come down a little bit. So Cole Reagans is going to be a stud all year. Don't change your plans on him at all. Keep plug and play and start him against everyone. Same with Zach Wheeler, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, 4 hits, 1 walk, 1 unearned, a ridiculous 40.2% called strike whiff rate, CSW, 18.6% swinging strike rate. The real ERA is 164. That's awesome. The xFIP 257, Sierra 267, 32% K rate. The numbers are there. The velo is down a tick, 96 to 95. But I'm not worried. Zach Wheeler is probably going to end up being the best pitcher in fantasy baseball this year. So again, don't change your evaluation here. Same with the next guy, Luis Castillo, 6 2/3 innings, 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 earned, 7 strikeouts at 33.7% CSW, 13.3% swinging strike rate. He started the year with 4 straight starts with 4 earned runs each, and that wasn't very pretty. Now he's allowed 7 earned runs total over the last 32 2/3 innings with 38 strikeouts. Yeah, 38 strikeouts, 32.2 innings pitched. That's pretty sweet. He now has an xFIP of 315, a Sierra of 306. So do not change how you feel about this man. He's going to be great. And keep plugging and playing them against everybody. Let's go to now to the more fringy guys. We'll start with Tristan McKenzie on Monday. He went 5 innings, 1 earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. A good 30.1% CSW, a poor 10.8 swinging strike rate. It was against the Tigers, so yeah, it was expected to do good. On the year, his 27.9% CSW and 10.3% swinging strike rate does little to make me feel all that optimistic about the rest of season value for this guy. He has bad pitch level values, horrible walk rate. His next start is against the White Sox. And if he can get those surface stats to look nice and pretty, then you might be able to sell him off for a pretty good return. You drafted him probably around the top 200, and if you can get someone who's actually going to be a top 200 player for the rest of the season, then go ahead and do it, because Tristan McKenzie is not going to give you that kind of value for the rest of the year. So if he can go out and do against the White Sox what he did against the Tigers, and he can make that surface ERA and the WHIP and all that jazz look pretty nice, then maybe you can sell him off to someone and get decent rest of season value, because he'll probably end up on the waiver wire here in about a month or so. Up next is Jack Flaherty. How this guy is still sitting at 65% rostered is beyond me. Go pick him up. He took a hard loss, 6 innings, 2 earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 33.7 CSW, 14.9 swinging strike. Now he has the 3rd best CSW in the league, 7th best swinging strike rate, the 8th best K rate. Good God, 65% on Yahoo is just ridiculously low. The XFIB is 224. The Sierra is 231. Go get him. What are you doing? Why is he on a waiver wire? I don't get it. Did y'all just not listen to anybody? Because I know Joe Arrico asked you to do it. I'm asking you to do it. Go pick this man up. Mason Black had his debut yesterday, and it wasn't pretty, and I wasn't all that shocked. 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, a terrible swing and strike rate of 7.1. CSW was 23.8, not all that great. Look, if you look a little bit at his ERA numbers in minors, it was 1.01 this year, and you're like, oh crap, 1.01, that sounds great. But the XFIP was 401. Last year's AAA ERA was 386, the XFIP of 515. The K rate was nice at 27.9%, but the walk rate was 12%. Look, Blake Snell's probably going to have to miss another start in the rotation, maybe two. And if Mason Black ends up getting that start next time around, skip him. Don't start him. Don't stream him. He's not worth it. He's too risky. So even if Mason Black does get the next start, I'm not using him on my league. Moving on to Mitch Keller, went old school, gave us a complete game. Yeah, complete games still happen, apparently. I guess Tom Thibodeau is managing baseball teams now. So he had 5 hits in the complete game, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, boo, 1 earned run, yay. Only needing 109 pitches, horrible CSW 22.9, and a horrible swinging strike rate of 6.4. He was just missing barrels all night. And you know what? That's not bad, right? I mean, if your stuff is working so much where you're inducing soft contact, then hey, more power to you. But it doesn't make me feel all that great about his rest of season. You know, his normal ERA is 441, is backed up with a solid XFIP of 382 and an even 4 Sierra. The BABIP allowed is 305, a 21% K rate. I mean, those aren't terrible numbers, but look, Flaherty is sitting there at 65% roster on Yahoo. Mitch Keller's 75% rostered. What are we doing here? Those two numbers should be flipped. If you got Mitch Keller and you got Flaherty sitting on your waiver wire, you're making a mistake. Let's move on to Tyler Anderson, who has also been a very popular drop today. And I kind of agree with the drop here. Maybe you can try and sell high instead of a drop, but I don't know if anybody would be stupid enough to take him. He went 6 3rd, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 earned, grand slam by Edward Olivares. It was his only blemish. He did have 5 strikeouts, 25.8 CSW, swinging strike rate to 10.8, not all that good. Look, he has a 274 ERA and a 113 WHIP. Those look good, but then the XFIP is 487, the Sierra is 486. He actually has an okay CSW at 28.5 and a good swinging strike rate of 13.3. But his K rate is terrible. The walk rate is terrible. I do not trust him for the rest of the season. He's got the Royals next, and I don't know how much I trust him for that one. The Royals offense isn't terrible. And his ERA estimators are god awful. And even with the swinging strike rate and the CSW, his K rate and his walk rate are just awful. So he's a bit too risky for my taste. Maybe 15 team leagues can trot him out there, but that's about it. Let's talk Walker Buehler making his debut. It was pretty good. Four innings pitched, 6 hits, no walks. That was nice. 3 earned, 4 strikeouts in 4 innings. An okay 27.3 CSW, 10.4 swinging strike rates, not all that great. Look, I love what he can bring if he's healthy. In his 12 starts last year, he had a 4.02 ERA, backed up with an xFIP of 3.50. He had excellent pitch level values. The K rate of 21.2 kind of sucked, but he's capable of more. His last full season of 2021, he had a 2.47 ERA, xFIP of 3.58, a 26% K rate. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and the upside is obviously huge. We just hope his elbow holds up. Even if the strikeouts don't come back, which, you know, kind of judging based on what we saw last year in those 12 starts, there's a good chance they're not going to come back, but the ERA estimators were still there. He can be a decent, and he's pitching for the Dodgers. He's going to get you some wins. I think he has solid rest of season value. I'm in on Walker Buehler this year. So if you got him, use him. And I don't think I would necessarily buy or sell him low or anything. Just keep using him. And based on how the rest of the season goes, it looks like he's probably going to be a start against the vast majority of teams in the league, especially given the team context. Let's move on to Justin Steele. 4 2/3, 3 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, no runs, an ugly swinging strike rate of 5.9, a CSW 25. But look, I do like him a lot. I think he can be a nice second or third starter in any format. He has he had a 3.06 ERA last year, with an xFIP of 3.35, a solid strikeout rate of 24.6, and a low walk rate, 27.4 CSW, and a 12.7 swinging strike rate. I do like him a lot. Now, keep in mind, he threw 63 pitches in his rehab start, 68 in this one. It might be another start or two before he really gets fully stretched out and can really be fully unleashed. But I do like what he can do rest of season. If you held on to him through the injury, I think he made the right call. I think he's going to be pretty good for you. He's going to be real good. Let's move on to Bryce Wilson. Went 6 strong versus Kansas City, 6 strikeouts, 3 walks, 1 hit, no runs. In the last 2 outings, he's gone 12 innings with 5 hits, 1 run, 5 walks, 12 strikeouts, a 29% CSW, and 11.6 swinging strike rate. But I am out on him except as a stream against weaker lineups. His real ERA of 2.40. Sounds awesome, but the Sierra of 3.83, xFIP of 4.23, you know, those numbers aren't terrible, but given the potential regression here, he had an xFIP of 4.71 behind his 2.58 ERA from last year. He has a really high left on base percentage at 90.2%, a real low BABIP of 175, which all that tells me that he's just going to, it's going to come crashing down for him. You know, I think the xFIP in the Sierra, where they're at, it's not terrible, but it's not great. And I think it's good enough where you can use him against like the Marlins of the world. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's someone that you can really start against a vast majority of teams in the majors. Maybe if you're needing strikeouts and you can take the ERA and whip hit because, you know, he does have a good strikeout rate, then okay, go ahead and use him if you can take the hit. But on the whole, I don't think he's a good five category asset. Let's move on to Tyler Alexander. He went 4 innings, 2 earned, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, and a 35% CSW. This is more for you deep league guys out there in limited action. He's looked okay. And with all the injuries in Tampa Bay, he's been getting some starts. But look, he's a piggyback starter. He's going to be the guy that comes in the fourth inning if the starting pitcher can't keep going, which means that he can kind of shark some wins. So, you know, if you're in a deep league and you don't have a whole lot of good starting pitching options and you have someone like Tyler Alexander sitting on your bench, you might as well throw him in there because there's a halfway decent chance that someone like Taj Bradley, who's coming back, Ryan Pepio, who's dealing with an injury, they might not be able to go the full five, which means Tyler Alexander will be right there to pick up where they left off. So you can shark some wins that way. Let's see here. Just dive a little bit into his numbers. His XFIP and Sierra are 440 and 401, respectively. Not all that great, but whenever you're looking at someone who just needs to go a couple innings to get you a win, and he's shown some pretty good strikeout upside, then I think that you can really you can really get some good value out of him. Let's talk a little bit about Mike Clevinger. It's looking like the Cleveland days are in the past. He went two innings, four runs, three earned, six hits, four walks, no strikeouts, a poor 20.4 CSW, 1.9 swinging strike rate. The ERA of 3.77 last year was backed up with an XFIP of 5.22, Sierra 4.81, just a 20% strike rate, strikeout rate. 28% CSW, which is okay, and 11.4 swinging strike rate, which is not okay. Look, he's probably best left on waivers right now. Until he shows that, you know, he can start delivering some better results. I don't know how much I trust him right now. I'm completely out on him. The numbers just haven't been there. And this start did little to change my mind. Let's move on to Sean Manaea. He has been a decent streamer this year, I guess. He went six innings, six hits, one walk, three earned, and only one strikeout. 3.31 ERA. He's backed up with a 4.90 XFIP, a 4.86 Sierra, 25% CSW, 12.4 swinging strike rate, a 20.4 strikeout rate. He has a stream versus weak offenses, really. Those numbers do not tell me that he is someone that you can really trust. If he's pitching against someone like the Marlins, a very cold offense like Pittsburgh, or, you know, the Cardinals right now, somebody who's that's the situation in which you start him. You do not want to start him against a lot of other teams. That XFIP and Sierra is just ugly. Let's move on to Semien Woods Richardson, six innings, one hit, one walk, eight strikeouts, 29% CSW. He now has a 25.3% K rate and a 6% walk rate, a 1.74 ERA backed up with an XFIP of 3.61, a 3.53 Sierra. He doesn't have the greatest minor league numbers. He had an XFIP of 5.01 last year in AAA. He has a high walk rate. The fastball, however, is now closer to 93 miles an hour as opposed to being 91 in the minors. He's worth keeping an eye on in 12 teams. You know, that XFIP and Sierra does kind of pop off at the page at you. The track record in the minors isn't all that great, which does give me a little pause. But in 15 team leagues with all the injuries, you could do a lot worse. So there is some reason for optimism here, but I'm keeping my eye on in 12 teams. You can stream him in 12 teams in the right matchups right now. But if he does it a couple more times and those ERA estimators hold, he can be a decent rest of season kind of guy. Just keep an eye on him in those 12 teams. 15 teamers though, go ahead and get him. Let's talk a little bit about the Dodger closer situation. Alex Vesia got the save, but two lefties came up for the Marlins in the ninth. And so that is probably what prompted that move, as opposed to Daniel Hudson, who was thought to be the favorite. And I said he was a favorite in the podcast yesterday, and I still believe that to be true. Even though Vesia has not been bad, he has a 1.56 ERA, 20 strikeouts in 17 innings with a 1.15 whip. But the XFIP is 5.09. The Sierra is 4.54. It means regression is due, and it also shows that he's probably not the best closing option there in Los Angeles. And I think Dave Roberts was just playing the matchups in the ninth, especially against the Marlins. I wouldn't read too much into it. He has a 171 BABIP, so that's a little lucky, at 82.4% left on base. I'm not adding him, because I don't think he's going to get those save opportunities. And even if he does, I don't trust him to perform. That XFIB and Sierra give me massive pause. But Daniel Hudson, who is still a popular ad today, I do agree with still adding him. I still think he's the guy whenever with Evan Phillips on the IL. All right, let's go into some of the more the most added pitchers today. The first one on the list is Lewis Gill, the Yankees starter. People are streaming him against the Astros, and I think that's a little risky. I'm benching him in my 12-team league. His 3.19 ERA is backed up with an okay xFIP of 4.07 and a 4.04 ERA. He has a huge strikeout rate, yes, but keep this in mind. The Astros have the least number of strikeouts against right-handed pitchers this year. So I don't think the strikeout potential is as great as what a lot of managers are hoping for. His walk rate of 15.1% is not all that great. He does have a good CSW and swinging strike rates, but the pitch level values are bad. And with the Astros, one of the lowest striking out teams in the league, I don't know if you're going to get what you think you're going to get out of him tonight. So I'm avoiding him. Colin Rea is a popular ad to stream against the Royals. I'm not in on this one. He has a 16% strikeout rate and 88.6% left on base rate. That 2.67 ERA is bound to go up with an xFIB of 4.58 and a Sierra of 4.71. The CSW on the year is just over 26%, a swinging strike rate of 8.4%. I am not in on Rea as a streamer today against the Royals. I think the Royals offense isn't terrible. I don't think Colin Rea has done enough to earn my trust in 12-team leagues. I can see him being a streamer in 15-team leagues because he does have a decent real ERA, and I guess the potential is there for him to potentially do well. But I'm definitely not using him in 12-team leagues. Jose Budo is a streaming option for a lot of y'all in against St. Louis today. He's been a popular ad. 2.57 ERA is backed up with an okay enough 4.09 xFIP and 3.95 Sierra. He has a good strikeout rate of 27.4%. He has a big K rate and a bad walk rate. I am in on Budo more because the Cardinals are struggling hard right now. They have just the 28th most homers versus righties, and they have the 28th ranked OPS versus righties. They also strike out the 10th most versus righties. So I am in with Jose Budo against the Cardinals today. I know Busch Stadium is in the top 10 of most hitter-friendly parks, according to StatCast, but that doesn't scare me off at all. Stream him. He's got a really good matchup. Let's go through some of the drops. I've already talked about some of them. Tyler Anderson's one of them. I already talked about him. Kyle Gibson's another drop. He went 6 strong, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. His 3.68 ERA is backed up with an xFIP of 4.22 and a 4.42 Sierra. He has low strikeout upside, and he's not a really good hold right now, so I think that's a good call. Let's talk a little bit about Angel Heaney proving me wrong. I said to fade him even against the Athletics yesterday, and I still fade him. His xFIP of 4.51 and Sierra of 4.09 are not all that great. A left on base rate of 61.1% is a bit low, so I think there's some negative regression coming. Maybe he's earned my trust to be more of a streamer against some of the more fringier offenses in the league, but I don't think he's necessarily a rest of season ad. You can risk putting him on the waiver wire. And he pitches in Coors in his next start. You're not using him there. There's no reason for you to keep him on your roster because you're not using him in Coors Field. Let's see here. Mason Black was a big drop, and I've already talked about him. So let's move on to the hitters. Let's talk about Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper had a 3-run homer on Monday, went 2-for-4. I'm a little worried about his batting average. Typically, he is a 5-cat dude. He does have the potential to help you in multiple categories, but batting average is usually one of those categories, and it's not right now. He's batting .243. His xBA is only .252, which is way down from years past. The power is there. He has 8 homers. He has an excellent xWOBA. His x slugging is good. His average exit velocity, barrel rate, hard hit, those are all good. He is walking at an elite rate. His chase and whiff rates are improved. He is a little bit of a buy low, though, with that average, but not much. See if you can snag a round or two of value for him in a deal. Typically, at batting averages, it's going to come up. Whenever all of those other... when all of those other StatCast numbers are so good and a guy has such a rich history of having a solid batting average, I believe he's a 280 hitter for his career. I just get the feeling Bryce Harper is going to positively regress there in the average and become a solid asset for your fantasy team all around. Let's talk about Riley Green. This dude is a stud. He is leading off against righties. He's a cleanup duty against lefties. He's a former fifth overall pick, so you know the talent is there. Check this out. The XWOBA, the X batting average, the X slugging, the average exit velocity, barrel, hard hit, sweet spot, chase rates, walk rates are all very elite. He does whiff some, and the K rate is not all that great, but oh well. Look, he was taking the top 150, and if you're looking at getting an excellent return on your value, don't sell him high. This is legit. I think that he is someone that if you're going to sell him really high. You should be able to get someone if you're going to sell him high, then you need to get someone within like the top 50, top 75. That's the kind of value that he has. Maybe you can get someone to even sell him low a little bit because the batting average is where it's at. If you can give up someone in your first 120 picks or so for him, that would be a huge return. Because he's going to be very easily within the top 120 this year. And if you can trade that kind of value to get Riley Green, I would go for it. I am in on him very hard. Let's go to Tyler Freeman. He's an everyday center fielder. He has four steals. He has good hard hit rates. An average exit velocity is also good. So the power potential exists. The rest of the StatCast numbers are not awful either. He has a he has a sweet spot rate of 34%, a chase rate around 27%, an excellent whiff and strikeout rates. He walks just enough. He's 15% rostered on Yahoo and a solid add in 5 outfield leagues and 15 team leagues. He's got that power speed combo that you're always looking for on the waiver wire. So if he's available, go see if you can pick him up. I think he's someone that can be really nice on your end of bench options in those 5 outfield leagues. Let's talk Kyle Manzardo a little bit. He struck out all three of his plate appearances, which is a little surprising. He had a 17% strikeout rate in AAA with a 149 WRC plus. He is a hold. Don't panic drop him. He has power potential, does not typically strike out much. Those K rates in the minors were around 15 to 17%. The highest he got was a 20.8%, which isn't all that great. But when historically throughout your minor league career, it's around 15 to 17%. I don't see Manzardo as a massive strikeout guy, and he has a lot of power upside, especially with that WRC plus I mentioned at 149. So Manzardo is a hold. If you picked him up for his potential, there is no reason to think that potential still doesn't exist. All right, let's talk a little bit about Edward Olivares. He started 5 of the last 7 games. He has a bad exit velocity, but his max exit velocity is 111, so the power, I think, is still there. He has an excellent XWOBA. His XBA, X batting average is good. Expected slugging is good. The barrel rate, sweet spot rates are both excellent. And because of that, I believe his hard hit rate and average exit velocity will come up because he's barreling the ball. He's getting that sweet spot. Eventually, those things are going to come back up. He has a good whiff and strikeout rate. I am in on him in 15 team leagues. 12 teamers need to keep their eye out. He's starting to play a little more. He's starting to produce. He's only 1% on Yahoo, so he's probably available. Go see if you need some outfield help. He is someone that you can really, really look to in 15 team leagues and 12 teamers. Just keep your eye on the production because he can help you in the long run if he really continues to play like he has been. Let's talk about Mikel Garcia. He went 1-for-2 yesterday with 2 RBIs, 2 walks, He was drafted just outside the top 200 and he could end up being a massive steal. He is batting .235, but his XBA is .268. He has four homers. That matches his total from last year. He has eight steals and 22 RBI. He has excellent XWOBA, expected slugging, average exit velocity, hard hit, sweet spot, whiff, chase are all excellent. The walk rate is a little low, but it's met enough to matter. You know, it's not awful, but it's not great. The big difference is that he's barreling the ball at a much higher rate this year than what he was doing last year. So I am in on him this year. See if you can deal someone drafted around the top 150 range and kind of buy him a little high, because I think he's going to be a top 100 player this season. He has that kind of potential. I am in on him this year. Go see if you can go get him on your roster. And if you have him, don't sell him. I'd hold on to him. Let's talk a little bit about Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe, he is coming off a breakout year and made his season debut. He had 20 homers last year with 32 steals, he did well to get two hits in his debut. He batted .292, had some solid under-the-hood numbers last year, XWOBA, expected batting average, expected slugging. The barrel rates and the sweet spot rates were all good, suggesting that what he did last year was not a fluke. As he grows as a hitter, it is possible that chase and whiff and strikeout and walk rates will improve because, you know, as he gets more comfortable in the majors, getting better at bats, it is very hopeful that, you know, he can lower those things and make those become a strength of his. He has a good foundation, though, to be a good fantasy option with the expected batting average and the slug in the barrel and the hard hit rates are all being where they are. He has that foundation. If he can just learn to be a better hitter in the majors, then I think he can really turn into a really, really good asset in 12-team leagues. So if you held on to him and you have him on your roster, now he's back, and I think he's going to produce nicely for you. Let's go to Max Kepler. He was 2-for-3, two doubles, a walk, a run scored. He did make his last start versus lefty, so he's not strictly a platoon player anymore. Historically, there's not a major split difference between between what he does against lefties and what he does against righties. He's batting .311 on the year and 61 at-bats with two homers. He's barreling the ball at a good rate. He has a solid exit velocity. The chase, whiff, strikeout, and walk rates all show he is making excellent contact. He came through last year with 24 homers and a .260 average 3 years after hitting 36 in the juice ball year of 2019. I think he's definitely a 5 outfield ag in 15 team leagues. In standard 12 team leagues without the 5 outfielders, I would keep an eye on him because the numbers are there for him to potentially be a good player for the rest of the year. But for me to add him in a non 5 outfield league or something that's shallower than that, I'm probably going to wait a little bit more to see what we get because it's only been 61 at bats. The sample size isn't all that great, and I think there are better options out there. Let's talk Christopher Morel. One homer yesterday with a walk. He did steal another base. He has 8 homers on the year with 4 stolen bases now, and he has .220 batting average. He had 26 homers and 6 steals last year, and he already has 4 steals this year. So obviously there is an emphasis for him to be more aggressive on the base paths this year. His base running value metric is right around league average, so he is a decent threat on the base paths. I think he is a buy low option. His batting average of .220 is bound to come up with an expected batting average of .279. The XWOBA, the expected slugging, the exit rates, the barrel rates, the hard hits are all good. He walks a lot. He strikes out some, but not a ton. He has a tendency to chase, but not so much. I think that he is just an all-around a solid fantasy baseball asset. He was dropped in one of my 12-team leagues a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't pick him up quick enough. He was drafted in the top 175, and he's looking like he's going to be a real steal. So if you have him, I wouldn't be selling him for anything more than less than like top 120, top 100 value, because I think that's what we're going to get with Christopher Morel, especially now that he is starting to steal some more bases. Maybe you wait for a little bit of a slump and you go and you swoop in and you buy him for a little more cheaper, because I think he's someone that can really, really give you a legit 5 category potential, suggest with that batting average that should go up. Let's talk about Brandon Nimmo real quick. He is going to be okay. After a slow start, he's up to a 228 average with 4 homers, 22 RBI, and a couple of steals. He has a 376 on-base percentage. So for those of you in OBP leagues or points leagues where walks matter, he's doing well for you there. The StatCast numbers suggest big things are on the horizon, though. Like all of the numbers are ridiculously good. So do not panic drop him. And if someone did, I hope you picked him up. He's like Morel. He was drafted around the top 175. And if you can trade similar draft day value for him now, do it. He is going to outperform his where he was drafted. I just think that if you can flip that kind of value for someone like Nimmo, I think you're going to come out ahead. I like him rest of season. Let's go to Xander Bogaerts. 2-for-4 with a double and a run scored yesterday. He was drafted around the top 100 and he has been a bit disappointing. He has a 224 batting average. He's sitting at 2 homers, 11 RBIs, 21 runs scored. Just has 2 steals. He's usually someone with an excellent average with some pop. And the 19 steals last year were nice, and I don't think the steals are necessarily going to go away. Let's talk a little bit about this. Look, his XBA is 264, so I think that batting average is going to go up. However, I worry some about the power. He has a low slugging, expected slugging. The exit velocity is not there. He's not barreling it. He has a bad hard hit rate. He has some sweet spot right there, but overall, it hasn't been pretty. If you go back and look at last year's 19 home run season, it's very similar. You have to go back to 2021 before we find above average marks for his power numbers like barrel, sweet spot, hard hit, average exit velocity. He hasn't been hitting the ball all that hard in the last couple of years, and maybe it's starting to catch up to him. And maybe this is the year that the power regresses. So maybe try and sell him for someone with a more complete fantasy profile if you feel like you need the power. Because if you were counting on Bogaerts to fuel some of your power numbers, I kind of doubt he's going to get to what you think he's going to get. I think he can still be a good asset. I think he can still get on base. He can steal bases. I think his batting average is going to be there at the end. His chase and whip breaks are all good. So he's going to get on base. He's going to score some runs. He's going to steal some bases. I don't think he's totally, a fade here. But if you need someone with a more complete profile, I think you can, then I think that might be worth your while, because I don't think the power is going to be there. Let's talk about some of the popular ads. I talked about Brent Roker yesterday with the Athletics. He has excellent StatCast numbers. I do support him as an ad. Luis Garcia has been a big ad today as well. He's having a breakout year. He has a minor wrist issue after jamming it, but there's nothing too serious. He's 26% rostered. He's batting .337 with 3 homers and 6 steals. His StatCast numbers seem to love him. The XWOBA, the expected batting average, the expected slugging, the average exit velocity, the barrel, sweet spot rates are all awesome. He does not whiff. He does not strike out a lot. He doesn't walk a lot either, but oh well, that's fine. I think he's an ad in 12-team leagues, especially 5 outfield leagues. Honestly, in my 5 outfield 12-team leagues, I wish I had a spot for him. I just don't. And if you're in that type of situation, good for you. I know not a lot of you are. I think he is an ad. He is in a platoon, so that does cap his value some, but look, strong side platoon, you're still going to get a solid 3 to 4 games a week at least out of him. I think that he is someone that is that can really really do good things for your fantasy team. 100 plus WRC plus numbers throughout his minors. He has good WOBA numbers throughout the minors. No crazy high bat pip to suggest a ton of luck, a good walk and strikeout rates. Let's move on. Let's go down to the most dropped hitters. Tyler Nevin is the first one on the list. He is 0-for-14 recently. That has brought his batting average down to .277. He has 5 homers and a .349 on base percentage. His StatCast page does suggest is slightly above average across the board. I think he is has solid power potential, and I'm not totally out on him. Look, his XWOBA, slugging, expected, exit velocity, barrel, hard hit are all excellent, are all really solid. His sweet spot rate, however, is excellent. He does whiff a ton. But he doesn't strike out a ton. He doesn't walk a ton. He bats on top of a pretty overperforming lineup right now in the Athletics. I don't think he's that great of a drop right now. I would be holding on to him. I think he can be a very solid end of bench option for you five outfield leagues. Because the Statcast numbers suggest that he's going to be solid. 0-for-14 slump is not a big reason for you to just go out and drop someone. He's someone that I really, really like for the rest of the season. Let's go to Joe Adell. He has not gotten a hit in 5 days, and so people are dropping him. The average is down to 250. He has 4 homers and 7 steals, and I think this is a short-sighted drop. He has elite numbers, the next WOBA, the expected slugging, expected batting average, barrel hard hit, sweet spot rates are all really good. The whiff, chase, strikeout, and walk rates are kind of ass. That's fine. The exit velocity, though, should come along with that barrel hard hit and sweet spot rates where they are. So I think he is someone that you want on your roster. He is playing every day. He's 37% rostered, so go and add him. He's not a drop. He's a good end-of-bench option in 5 outfield leagues. Anytime a guy has so many positive Statcast numbers, you can't just go out and drop him because he's had a few bad games. You got to look at those undersurface numbers. Let's talk Mark Canna. He only has had 2 hits in his last 5 games. Overall, he has 5 homers, a steal, and a .248 batting average. I am in on him as in the bench option in 12-team formats, especially 5 outfield ones. His Statcast numbers do not suggest a massive regression. It suggests that he will continue to do exactly what he's doing, which is extremely solid, nothing too crazy awesome, not something too crazy bad. I think that Mark Canna is someone that you can just have at the end of your bench when one of your main guys is out having a day off. You know, the team doesn't play, there's a rain out, whatever, you can plug him in and he's a real solid option. He's a solid batting average. He has some power potential, a little bit of a potential to steal. I think you can do a lot worse to have on your bench and someone to just plug whenever you need him in there. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Again, don't forget to follow me at PaulW_34 don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Sports Ethos Fantasy on Twitter, Ethos Fantasy BB. And this episode has been brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you for joining us. Y'all have a great day.